Good morning, I'm Khaki Walton. Checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners and the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. Opening tonight at the Circuit Playhouse and running through March the 25th, a musical that won 8 Tony Awards when it premiered on Broadway, Spring Awakening, music by Duncan Sheik. It's a terrific show, and Dave Landis is directing. He's in the studio this morning to talk to me about something I've been looking forward to. I say that to you every time because the season has been so terrific. But I'm so excited. I've never seen Spring Awakening. It came through on a touring show, but for one night only.
For one night only.
And I missed it, and this is something I've wanted to see for a long time.
Well, we promise that you'll have a great time.
Well, this is great because this has all of the interns that we've grown to love over the past season, and this is really the last big show they're doing together.
This is. This show was kind of the draw for them when they accepted their internship with Playhouse this past season, and they all knew they were going to be in it. And then once they got here, they auditioned for the various roles. But this group has been such an incredible group of performers and technicians, and I think this is a great show for them to kind of wrap up almost the end of their season. They still have one more show, but they scatter to different productions, but this is the one show that they're all in together. And if your listeners have got a chance to see Avenue Q this past fall, all of them were in that, and they've gotten even better since then.
They really are a talented bunch, and I'm going to miss them a whole lot. Well, let's talk about this. I mean, this is focusing on youth and rebellion and sexuality and growing up and I don't know, adults telling you to tamp down what you're feeling and not really telling you the truth about what happens to you when you go through your teenage years.
Right. This play was actually written in 1891 in Germany, and then it was banned for many, many decades because it was too risque and too controversial. But the basic premise of it is that there's this group of kids. Boys still go to school. Girls, they're not in school. They're at home doing, you know, the girl things. And it's about, you know, them. The Spring Awakening is basically, you know, the equal to going through puberty. And also at the same time asking questions. You know, it's that premise of children should be seen and not heard kind of attitude. And so they have questions, and you can tell kids to be quiet, but that doesn't stop them from asking questions about why is the world this way? Why am I this way? And I have to be honest, when I first heard the music, I thought, oh, this is just a bunch of angsty teenagers. And then when I read the updated version of the play in conjunction with the music, it all flows so beautifully together of these teenagers asking these questions and not, they do all the right things. They go to their parents, they go to their teachers, they ask them, what does this mean? And, you know, they kind of get put aside and put into a box. And so they turn to each other and to themselves. And of course, when kids do that, if they don't have the proper kind of guidance, things are going to happen that might not necessarily be, you know, viewed as necessarily moral, if you want to look at it from that perspective. But for your listeners who might not be familiar with the show, it's set in 1891 in Germany. And then when these kids kind of go inside their mind and we kind of get a little insight into what they're thinking and what they're feeling, the show suddenly becomes a rock concert. Right. So you've got this these two worlds of this very provincial town in Germany that's contrasted by this just raucous rock music and rock ballads, because it kind of is exemplifying the energy that they are feeling and the turmoil inside of their own lives. And it's an event. I don't even call it a play. It's an event.
Oh. Well, the reason, I mean, that it won 8 Tony Awards, people had not seen anything like this come on Broadway. I mean, we hear the Broadway shows that have all the power ballads and this, that, and the other. I mean, there's a certain Broadway sound.
There is.
And this, and not that there's anything wrong with that, because I love Broadway, but this was something completely different. I mean, when you saw these kids all of a sudden whip out a microphone and start jumping off their chairs in the classroom, there was just, it was palpable, the
energy.
Yeah,
and I think that's one of the reasons that it became a show that spoke to a generation of teenagers who have now become young adults, but they still love it. And I think that's the beauty of this musical adaptation of Spring Awakening, is that if you're not a kid and you're, if you have the response that I had, you know, I'm 48 years old and I feel like, okay, I'm the oldest one in the room when we're rehearsing the play. But it makes you remember what it was like and that it is a universal thing for kids to grow from, you know, adolescence to teenager to adult. You can't escape it. And I think sometimes as adults, we forget what it was like, even though we know exactly that we went through the exact same thing and asked the exact same questions. And I think that's what's interesting about the play is that, you know, 120 years later, not a whole lot has changed.
That's
when
the
truth. When it comes to growing up.
Yeah.
So I think that adults who might be wanting to think that, well, it's maybe not a show for me, I actually think it's a show that's worth visiting. There are two adult characters. Or there's two adult actors on the show, played beautifully by Carla McDonald and David Foster, who represent all of the adults in these kids' world. And they've got some lovely moments. And sometimes they play stereotypical adult characters because that's how the kids view them. Mm-hmm. But then you get to see parents dealing with, you know, what happens when my child does this and how does a parent deal with that?
Huh.
And so I've kind of tried to, you know, raise up those scenes as well. So it's really about not just the kids, but the kids and the parents and the kids and the teachers, and that we all have a responsibility to helping our youth go through what we already went through.
Well, let's talk about who the main characters are as far as the younger people are concerned.
Melchior is played by Ben Laxton, who was just recently seen in Next to Normal as Gabe. He's kind of the protagonist of the show, that he's the first one to ask questions, and he's the first one who doesn't accept necessarily what he learns in books and what he learns in class. And, you know, they're teaching Latin and all of that stuff that in his mind is pointless, kind of like the way I look at math. So, you know, what good is this going to do me? So he starts asking questions, and I think it just naturally leads to, you know, becoming aware of the world outside of the classroom and outside of what he's taught there. And his parents are actually, his mother is very liberal, so she allows for that. And that's one of the reasons that I think he does that. And then one of his best friends is Moritz, who feels the pressure of being perfect in school. And always, you know, it's that student who's got to always have A's or he considers himself a failure, and how they bond together. And then there's this young girl who's realizing that she's pretty, and her name is Vendela, and she's kind of got a little thing for Melchior as well. So it's basically focuses around the three of them, and then all of their friends have supporting parts in their lives. But discusses a lot about the bonds of friendship, and it addresses teenage suicide, teenage pregnancy, bullying to a certain extent,
homosexuality,
and you know, sexuality in general. Mm-hmm. It's all there. You know, you can't escape it. I think that, you know, as adults, we tend to want to turn a blind eye to that. That's not going to happen to my child. And it's, you know, if we're actually honest, it does.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, this carries with it an explicit theater advisory.
It does, because children tend to get a little mouthy sometimes.
No, really?
Really. It's mostly in the lyrics. Like if you just watched the play and you took out all the songs, you'd just be watching a very period piece. Mm-hmm. And then when they go into these rock world, I mean, everything becomes, you know, 2012 with the microphones and the language. They talk about, you know, calling and phoning and stereos and that kind of thing within the song. And then they go back to being, you know, 1891 characters again. And I know on Broadway there was some nudity in one of the scenes. And I'm going to tell you that the way I've rehearsed the show is I'm allowing the two actors that have that opportunity. It's kind of their call every night on whether they want to do it or not. So there is the potential for some nudity on stage.
And I've seen that scene. Mm. and it's so real.
It's very real, and it's quite beautiful.
Quite beautiful.
And the thing that I love about this show is that it really addresses an age of innocence that I think we all tend to forget that we once had. Mm. And it's I talked to my cast when we first started rehearsals about, you know, nowadays we live in an age of the internet and of texting, and everybody's diaries or blogs for everyone to read. There are no secrets. You know, everybody knows everybody's business now. And that's what I love about the world of this play, is that everybody has secrets because, you know, Melchior keeps a journal, you know, that is very private. And all of these other teenagers have questions, but they don't know who to talk to, you know, so they're reaching out to their closest friends. And it's been a challenge for this cast. I think anybody who does a show like this, where we live in a world that's completely different, you know, from a time period where they didn't have texting and cell phones and sexting and you know, internet and all of that kind of stuff, that they only had each other, you know.
Well, I read that you mentioned that this play was a scandal when it came out in the 19th century, and I read that the playwright even got put in jail.
I wouldn't put it past them to do that. They did that a lot to playwrights back then.
Well, that's true. But you know, that's the thing, and that's what makes this so heartfelt, I think, is knowing that these children aren't getting any answers and they're living under such authoritative situations, and they have a lot of religious blockades put up in their way. You can't do this because it's a sin.
Right.
And
right.
And so they're dealing with all of this, and it's hard to deny what you're feeling just because an adult says you can't because the Bible says it's a sin, or you can't because, you know, this is just not something that people do, and they have to be true to their feelings.
Right.
I mean, if you're not true to your feelings, it'll kill you.
Right. If I could, I would like to read some of these lyrics that Melchior sings in his first song that kind of sum up what you just said. He sings, "All that's known in history, in science, is overthrown at school, at home, by blind men. You doubt them, and soon they bark and hound you till everything you say is just another bad about you. All they say is trust in what is written. Wars are made, and somehow that is wisdom. Thought is suspect, and money is their idol, and nothing is okay unless it's scripted in their Bible."
Wow.
You know.
So we may hear that later today on the Friday
Live
Lunch.
You might. That's Melchior, who's, like I said, is played by Ben Laxton. And Nick Mason plays Moritz, his best friend. And Sarah Hoke plays Vendela, who is his love interest.
Oh, and just for all the gleeks out there, we want to mention that Lea Michele did this on Broadway.
She did, with Jonathan Groff.
With Jonathan Groff.
And he was also on Glee. So.
Now he's for the rival.
I know.
Vocal Adrenaline. Well, this is terrific. I'm so excited about this show, and I hope that everybody will tune in this afternoon for the live lunch. We'll go on the air at 12 minutes past 12 noon, and you're absolutely invited to come sit in the audience. This will be at the Circuit Playhouse. You can watch live radio happen and hear some of these songs first and see the cast performing them. And you still have to go see the show because, unfortunately, we can't do every song.
We can't do every song. I do also want to add that on Broadway, and we're doing the same thing with Tim McMath's set, is that there was about 20-25 seats that audience could reserve to sit on stage with, as you know, kind of off to the sides with the cast. And we are doing the same thing. So if you call to make reservations, tell them you want on stage seating, or if you'd rather sit back a little farther. But when you're on the stage, you are part of the show, in the sense you're not asked to participate, but you become part of their mind's audience.
Oh my gosh.
So when they go into their rock world, you're their audience.
Oh man.
And it's a lot of fun. It really is. And we've already had people calling us like, "Are you doing the on stage seating?" And we're like, "Yep, we are." So.
Oh, how cool. Oh, I don't want to let this opportunity go by either. Courtney Oliver's choreographing.
She is. She's so good. You might actually get a chance to talk to her at Live Lunch today if I can convince her to do that. So.
Oh my goodness, really?
So, well, she can tell you a little bit about, because the choreography won a Tony Award.
Uh-huh.
She, you know, Courtney brings her own take to everything she does, and that's why I love her. And she's done a great job with these kids. So.
Well, now let's leave it here. This is addressing the issues that teenagers go through, the issues that we've all gone through. Mm-hmm. And so, as we said, some you know, mature subject matter. There is an explicit theater advisory. There may or may not be nudity on the night that you go. should parents bring their kids to start a dialogue?
I always am of an advocate of that. I know several parents that do that regardless of what show they're seeing, you know, that they want to open up their kids to it. Because I can tell you probably your kids are going to find a way to see the show
yeah.
unless you lock them in their room, and then I don't know what to say about that.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because I thought I could see my mom going, no, I don't think that's something you should see, and then I'll sneak out and tell her I'm going to a movie and I'm going to go anyway.
Now, you just encouraged all your kid listeners to do that.
I'm just, you know, I'm being honest about my past experience.
Well, then, and that's what I love about this show, that if we're all honest about it, it's I have a lot of fun. I find myself rocking out all the time, and I feel like I'm, you know, a teenager again. And I think if we are willing to, you know, at least endure, not endure, but, you know, kind of let ourselves go there for a couple of hours. It's almost a breath of fresh air for us as adults, too. And the music in the show is so beautiful. Some power rock songs, but some of the ballads are just so, so moving that they'll bring you to tears.
Oh, I can't wait. Spring Awakening opening tonight at the Circuit Playhouse, running through March the 25th. The Pay What You Can performance is Thursday, March 8th. And, of course, the shows are Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 o'clock with Sunday matinees at 2 o'clock. Do not miss this. It won 8 Tony Awards for a reason. Spring Awakening tonight at the Circuit Playhouse. Get your tickets by calling 726-4656 or by going to playhouseonthesquare.org. And we hope that you'll tune in to the Friday Live Lunch later at 12 minutes past 12 noon. I want to thank Dave Landis, the director of Spring Awakening, for being my guest this morning. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Kaki.
Checking in the Arts is made possible by the Memphis Symphony Orchestra, performing a tribute to Motown, The Contours, March 10th at the Cannon Center. The Contours celebrate the timeless grooves of Motown as they perform hits from The Temptations, The Four Tops, Stevie Wonder, and The Miracles. Tickets and information available at 537-2525 or memphissymphony.org.